check out Rush Collectibles' awesome horror figures, including the first and only Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2 figures. For more information, go to rushfigures.com.
Remember, in the course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by your other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. I'm drinking a Dr. Pepper strawberries and cream zero. It's pretty delicious.
Oh, you wild man. It's just crazy.
It's actually pretty good. I before I started drinking zero soda, I tried the regular of this. It was way too sweet. But the zero sugar one, it's perfect sweetness.
Yeah, I drink all zeros and stuff like that. And I can't drink regular anymore. I taste the regular and I'm like, whoa, that's just too much.
That's fully leaded.
Yeah, I get you. So, all right. Well, today, we're fully leaded today, too, because we've got not one, but two reviews today. We are reviewing the movie We Are Zombies and the movie The Mousetrap. But before we get there, we have all kinds of stuff to talk about and discuss. And let's start off with Ike. What did you watch this week?
Well, I watched a few things. most importantly, I've been watching a little bit of Supernatural here and there. Mm-hmm. But I've been busy, so I haven't been able to watch a whole lot. I also have been watching, for fans of YouTube out there, I've been watching some gameplay from Markiplier. He's been playing some Five Nights at Freddy's games, so that's been cool. But also, my wife Kayla, she works at not a movie theater, she works at a library, and one of her coworkers actually recommended that we check out a horror comedy musical. So I checked out a horror comedy musical called The Guy Who Doesn't Like Musicals. It's by Team Starkid. And it's basically a musical about a guy who lives in a town. He hates musicals. But a meteor hits the town and everyone starts dancing and singing. So it sort of becomes like a weird virus and he has to kind of survive it. really good, actually. It's very creative. And then I watched another horror comedy musical made by the same people called Black Friday, which is about Black Friday.
Interesting. That's very much like there was an episode of Buffy like that, where they everybody in Sunnydale had to sing, and it was a very good episode.
Well, I told Kayla, I was like, a horror comedy musical is a very, 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 very niche genre, because I mean, horror is a pretty, a subgenre of movies, and then horror comedy is a pretty small subgenre within horror, and then you tack on musical to that. That's really niche.
Yeah, that's pretty detailed. Let's see, did I watch anything? No, I actually don't think I did watch anything within the realm of discussion here. Not that I can remember. No, don't think so. So I'm not bringing anything to the discussion this week. So let's move on.
Order up!
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy!
And it is time for our cheesy slasher of the week. This is where every episode Ike and I present to you just what it says, a cheesy slasher for your viewing pleasure. And we advise you to go watch these. They're not what we will call great movies, but they are awfully fun to watch. And this week, we offer to you the movie Nightmare. The movie was released October 23rd, 1981 in 117 New York theaters with an X rating, because of the blood and gore. And then the movie was released to home video in 1982. The movie was written and directed by Romano Scavolini. I think Romano's probably Italian, but that's just going out on a limb there. The movie is starring Brad Stafford, Sharon Smith, CJ Cook, and more. It is described as a mental patient embarks on a murder spree upon escaping from an institution. And no, this is not that that movie set in Halloween in Haddonfield, even though that description kind of fits the bill there a little bit. An interesting fact about this movie is that some have sourced that Tom Savini is credited as the film's effect artist, but he has always held that he was just a consultant only and did not actually create any of the effects. He only saw a little bit of what they were doing and gave them some advice. Oh, you might want to tweak this, change that. But they used his name to promote the film, and he threatened to sue them. So they eventually just dropped his name from it, and in subsequent releases, his name is not associated with it. There are others in the crew, in the effects, that have said, yeah, he's right. He didn't actually do anything hands-on. He was around some. He gave us a little advice here and there, but he wasn't near the whole shoot. He didn't actually physically do anything. He didn't do the effects. It was a whole thing associated with the movie. The movie had the working title Dark Games. And there's scenes in the movie that are set in the asylum. They were actually in a sanatorium. This movie was banned as a quote-unquote video nasty in the UK during the 80s. That's when they went and they banned movies that they viewed as too extreme, which they called video nasty. Because the Brits always have funny ways of saying stuff. The film's budget was $250,000. And most of that, or there's probably a big chunk of that with the effects, because there is some blood and stuff in this. And the movie is available to watch on Tubi. So go give it a watch and, have a snack and just lean back and just have a little fun with this one. But that is our cheesy slasher of the week for you, the movie Nightmare from 1981. So let's progress on.
Talk to us, internet.
And beginning in this episode, we're going to begin a new segment. And this segment, as you heard by the little musical intro clip, is going to be called Talk to Us, Internet. And this is where we are going to take either listener or follower feedback or a comment or something and discuss it just a little bit, or just something in general that's horror-related that we saw on the internet that we want to discuss. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time. Well, I say that, but we sometimes have a tendency to be a little long-winded. This one, I actually did reply to this on X. But I wanted to talk about it on the show. On X, a listener and follower named Gavin Broom said, quote, "I love the podcast and your guys' positivity, but Dave, 80% of your review of Trap was more complaining about people complaining about the movie," unquote. And I responded to Gavin and said, "You know what? You're right." When we did the review of Trap, I did complain awful lot about people complaining about the movie. And I did tell him on X that, you know, I do have a tendency to get up on a soapbox sometimes and get a little rambly about these things. And that's why sometimes our horror hot takes or some of these segments end up going like a half an hour, because I get a little rambly. But Gavin is true. We tried to be very spoiler free in that interview, or excuse me, in that review. And I did spend a good chunk of my time complaining about people who kind of quickly judged or prejudged the movie and said they hated it and how I didn't understand that. So I do apologize, Gavin, for that. I will try to, from now on, if I have that opinion, I'll try to just drop it and move on and not get hung up on it. I'm not the old man getting hung up on something there and just wailing on it for a while. So I in retrospect, did you notice during the review that I was doing this a little bit?
Like you said, hindsight's 20/20. Thinking about it, yeah, there was quite a bit of that being touched on during your review of it, and I understood it, because in the moment it made sense, right? But would I have said anything? Probably not. I didn't really notice it that much in the moment, but I suppose from the listener's point of view, it's a little different than, you know, our creative process or lack thereof, I guess. So
yeah, there's oftentimes things you don't really, you miss in the course of a conversation, right? And as opposed to when you're listening to it outside the conversation, where you're a little more focused on what's being said. Not saying we don't focus on what we're saying, but I'm just saying in the flow of things, you know, it's kind of the flow of thought. And, you know, sometimes you don't realize that I'm repeating stuff and
Right. You
not, not.
kind of get into like a zone almost when you're talking about movies. You're kind of honing in on like what was this movie about? What did I like about this movie? What did I not like about this movie? You're not really thinking about like what exactly am I saying and am I repeating things? Like it just kind of it goes to the wayside, I guess you would say.
Yeah, I guarantee listeners, I had no clue that I was repeating that so often. It was just, you know, in the course of conversation, I wasn't even cognitive or aware that I was repeating myself necessarily. It was just that's what was there. Apparently, that was what was really stuck in my crawl that day.
See,
Not. Go
fun
ahead.
fact. No, as a fun fact, when we record these, Dave absolutely blacks out. We're not really sure how it happens or why it happens. He just fucking
Well,
blacks out completely, wakes up an hour later, and we're done.
no.
I'm
But
joking.
with a little, I guess a little whatever you want to say it, a little clarity or not clarity. What's the word I'm trying to think of? A little honesty, I guess. I don't know the word.
Yeah.
There's a specific word. Like it. There are many times that while we're recording or just prior to recording, I have indulged in an adult beverage. Because I do like adult beverages too. I just like adult beverages. But I mean they help me relax, right? After a day of work and everything else. I sometimes like to do that. And lots of times before I do interviews or recordings or whatever, I like to have a little bit because it does relax me. It does help me, you know, open up a little. It makes me a little more conversational.
Right.
So yeah, sometimes. Most of the time, I have had an adult beverage, today included. So sometimes, you know what, Gavin, you were just gonna blame the alcohol. No, I just kidding. It's not like I'm sloppy drunk. I you know, but but you know, it does relax you a little bit. And sometimes maybe you're not as sharp as you are when you're completely dry, and you don't realize you're repeating yourself. Gavin, which I'm aware though, this one that I have said that probably three or four times now. So please don't take the X and call me out on that one again. So.
I'm surprised you didn't like call me out for saying, "Oh yeah, for sure," or whatever it is that, because like I think that's the thing that I say a lot. I don't realize I say it so much, but "Oh yeah, for sure," or something like that.
Well, no, what was it's like, what is it
Oh
like?
yeah,
Yeah,
absolutely.
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's because we called you up very early on and actually made a t-shirt of that very early on in the podcast days. So. Those t-shirts are available if you want to go to our links in our link tree. We do have shirts, guys. We don't plug them very often on here, but we do have some pretty nifty little shirts. If you want to go buy one and show your pride and listening to us apparently repeat ourselves over and over and over again.
Right.
But there you have it. Thank you, Gavin, for your feedback. Thank you, everybody. Remember, interact with us on social media because hell, we like that. We like that back and forth. And now there's the added benefit that, well, you might just become part of the conversation. We promise we're not doing this to rip you apart or argue with you. It's just to, if it's something is put out there, some feedback that spawns a little bit of self-awareness, a little bit of a discussion about ourselves, then that's what we're going to do. Or, like I said, it could be about just a horror topic in general that
Yeah.
kind of hits us the right way. So there you have it. So make sure you're interacting with us because you could get mentioned on the show. So let's move on then to our next segment.
Top three.
And this week we are going back to the original segment, the top three. Back when we first started this for many, many episodes, the top three was all there was. There was no cheesy slasher. There was no talk to us internet. There was no stump the coast. None of those. It was just top three every week. And then we realized, ooh, this is not good. We need a little variety and something to just spice it up a little bit and also to keep us from running out of ideals. But we do keep it in the rotation. And this week we do have a top three list. And spawning off the fact that we are reviewing the movie The Mousetrap today, we are going to talk about our top three favorite public domain horror movies so far. And we do say so far because there's lots of them in the pipelines ready to come out. So I do think probably if we revisited this in the near future, this would greatly change because there's so
Oh, for
many
sure.
getting ready to come out. When I was actually putting this together, you know what? This was a little harder than I anticipated it would be because while there are some out there, I guess a lot of them we've talked about and discussed and been excited for, they're not out yet. So it's
Yeah.
like there's not as many already out there as what I anticipated. So I was like, oh, this is a little difficult. So, but I do have three. Are we ready to dive into this, Ike?
I think so.
All right. Well, I'm going to start with my number three is the movie Mary Had a Little Lamb from 2023. This came out last year, a very low budget, straight to streaming movie. I believe the same, I'm not 100% sure if it's the same company, but at the almost exact same time, there was a movie called Three Little Pigs that came out. And again, I think they were the same company, but I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure that we had got some screener links. We didn't review these on the show, but I did watch them. Three Little Pigs was but Mary Had a Little Lamb it was pretty fun. And the big bad wolf character that's it's you know was based on the big bad wolf was pretty cool, pretty original, and I did enjoy this. So this one slipped in there at number three for me. But like I said, you know, with some of these movies that are coming out, poor little Mary Had a Little Lamb will probably very quickly drop off this list. But for now, that is my number three favorite public domain horror movies. And I guess we should clarify, right? I don't know if we say public domain horror movies, we say that in reference to horror movies based on public domain properties.
Yeah.
I do understand there are horror movies that are in the public domain, such as Night of the Living Dead and some of those which are the actual movies themselves are in public domain. There's lots of those out there. And that's not what we're referring to. We're referring to horror movies based on public domain properties, characters, images, things like that. So that's what we mean. So,
Yeah.
all right, Ike, what is your number three favorite?
So before I say this, to my knowledge, as far as I can recall, because I've not watched the Three Little Pigs or the Mary Had a Little Lamb or any of that, so I've only watched three. So,
All right, easy list.
it's an easy list, but my number three is Mousetrap, the one that we are reviewing later today. Or so I'm not going to talk about it a whole lot, but. The other two films on this list were, in my opinion, better than Mousetrap, but also they're just general. I like them, you know. So, but it's not that Mousetrap's bad by any means. It's just it was not as good as the other two. But I'm not going to talk about it too much.
Are your other two a movie and its sequel?
They're not. I almost did that, but I was like, I'm just going to choose one of them.
Okay, so you technically watch more than three then.
I watched four, technically.
There you go. Okay. All right. Well, I bet we got the name same number one. All right, my number two, and this one is tricky because it's not straight up a story based on a public domain story per se. This is more of a fair use type thing, right? Where they
Yeah.
have used a character and they can use it, but they could not use the previous name of this character in the movie. They had to be very careful about that. So anyway, my number two is from 2022. The Mean One, which it is not generally a straight up because the Grinch Who Stole Christmas is not in the public domain. And in this movie, they could not refer to this character as the Grinch. They could not use the term the Grinch. So this is more of like a that fair use type thing where it's a whatever you want to call it, where they use the Grinch-like character, but they couldn't refer to it the same. It had some differences. But I felt like there's enough of it there that it falls to the same flavor as this. And I really did enjoy this movie. Of course, our guy David Howard Thornton's in it, playing the mean one, or you know, the Grinch that we can't say. And but that is my number two. So Ike, what is your number two?
My number two is also the mean one.
I figured.
I really like the mean one. It was one of those ones that you literally watched, and I still remember, I would say 99% of the movie. You know, and I can't say that for every single movie I watched. And the mean one left a lasting impression, like you said, had our has our boy David Hart Thornton, Art the Clown. And just generally speaking, it was just a it was a very good, fun, just slapstick time. I mean, it obviously is not the best movie you've ever seen, but I mean, how could you go wrong with literally the Grinch killing people? Or I'm sorry, the mean one. Don't want to get in trouble there. but yeah, you know, it's just a good time. I love the movie, and I'll definitely be watching it this Christmas.
Yeah, I definitely think this will be in my regular Christmas horror rotation. So I would venture to guess that we have the same number one. The number when this came up, there was no doubt what my number one was.
Yeah.
This is by far, and it will be difficult for any of the forthcoming ones to knock this off because I so enjoyed this movie. This was just one of my just the most fun movies I've seen so far this year. My number one is Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2. It is I just love the movie. I mean I public domain not or notwithstanding. It is one of I'm not saying it's gonna crack my top five by the end of the year. It might, I don't know. But it was definitely one of the movies I watched that I had the most fun watching. I just really enjoyed it. It was just so cool, so clever. And it's just I like it. I just love it. This is to me, of course, the Winnie the Pooh movies really jumped on this whole subgenre very quickly. They were kind of in the forefront, and to me, they are still the ones with that are the measuring stick. They're still the one
Yeah.
that's establishing all the others have to. Now, granted, lots of the future coming movies are in this, right, within the Pooniverse, as they're calling it. They have the Bambi movie and the Pinocchio, and I think Cinderella. I mean, there's a ton of them that are all by the same people. So that's why I'm very excited about all those. But they are still, to me, the ones that have they've established where the bar is, and they've done a really good job of it. And I thoroughly enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And you are 100% correct. This is also my number one. Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 1, it was a decent movie, but Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2 just came through and just banged it out of the park. Just absolute, 500-foot home run. Like, it genuinely is, it's so fun. And in my opinion, Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2, it has essentially created this whole craze. I mean, sure, the mean one I think maybe was released before, maybe not. But I think that this one really, like Winnie the Pooh, it is the pioneer of this sort of new genre. And I think it's gonna hold on to the title of best movie, at least until we get the Bambi, The Reckoning, or potentially the Pinocchio or Peter Pan movie that they're gonna give us, because both of those sound really good too. But yeah, I just it's wild because I remember going to watch in the theater and there was not that many people in the theater when we went. But it was one of those weird situations where it was like I think AMC calls them Fathom events or whatever. And it was just like, it was so weird because I was like, it's crazy to me that even though there's not that many people in this theater, I think there's like 30 of us. I was like, there's 30 of us that are here to literally watch Winnie the Pooh kill people. Like, it's sort of weird to think about.
And to be fair, we do know there were other movies previously that have done this, right? There was a Hansel and Gretel movie with Jeremy Renner. There's been a
Yeah.
Snow White one, or maybe a couple Snow White ones even. I even believe there was a Cinderella one at one point. I know there's others that existed and have existed, and I'm not knocking any of those. But it just feels like right now, this has really been established as a kind of a thing. And the success of the Winnie the Pooh movies have helped establish that, where it's like, we're not getting just one and then that's it. Because the movie did well and it had, this nice little following, it's what, other people are doing them and they're doing more. And it's now it's this thing to use these characters. And it's kind of started a craze, so to speak. So, we're aware that others have done this previously.
Right.
But it was, again, they were kind of not really establishing this as a, I'm not saying they didn't do well or not decent movies, but they didn't really establish a trend. So that's kind of why, we're getting kind of caught up in it now. And I don't know, there's just, like I said, there's a really a just this layer of fun to the Winnie the Pooh ones. I don't know. They're just fun watches. They're
There.
just a really, really fun movie to sit and watch and really escape in. And so, all right, there you have it. That's our top three for this episode. So let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll have all of our news, birthdays, movie anniversaries, and all of that stuff. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two, and Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And we're back with the news. All right. So, Late Night with the Devil will be releasing on physical media on September 10th. Check our archives for our official review of this movie. Yeah, I think we both liked it quite a bit. And it's very good to see that it's getting a physical media release. It was originally on streaming only with some theater release as well. Yeah, absolutely stoked to see this get physical media release. Might be one of those ones that I go out and purchase.
Yeah, perhaps. I again, this is a fun movie. This is one of those movies that will be a contender for my top five of the year so far. It's I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very clever, very well done, yeah, it was just really, really fun. And not you know, you could say, you know, oh, it'll always be out there streaming, but you never know. You just never know about these things. So go buy a physical copy so that you always have it.
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about it a lot, but digital media is great, but physical media is hopefully permanent.
Yeah.
But all right. Moving on to Lily Sullivan, who starred as Beth in Evil Dead Rise, is joining the Megan spinoff film Soul Mate with a H instead of an A. She will reportedly play the artificially intelligent android that a man acquires to help him cope with the loss of his recently deceased wife. The movie is currently scheduled to release in theaters on June 27th, 2025. Of course, you know, we have a Megan review in the archive somewhere. So we both pretty much really liked it. We're really excited for Megan 2, whenever that comes out. And Soulmate, you know, the spinoff, I think it'll be good. I think it'll be a solid, I think it has potential. I think this whole little niche genre of like basically the Terminator, but like less apocalyptic, you know,
yeah, like AI horror or something,
right?
Yeah, and Lily Sullivan's a good get for this. She was the sister in Evil Dead Rise, so she was, I mean, she was kind of the lead, right? She was the final girl and everything else coming through that movie, and she did a great job, and that's bravo. That's a good casting, and I like it. I think she'll just absolutely nail this. So, and you know, while I was curious about the movie, I was interested in the movie. This has definitely piqued my interest much more now that she's playing that lead role.
Yeah, I would agree. And like you said, it's also sort of like in that universe. So it's like, I don't know. I'm excited for it. I'm cautiously optimistic just because this does kind of feel like one of those, like, we're just gonna run this, you know, idea into the ground and until it's, you know, burnt and buried. But we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean that description's not that different from Megan, really.
No.
I mean, it, so I'm like, no, obviously, I guess with a man and a wife, that, you know, being adults, there's, I don't know, I just, but I'm curious to see with this and with the Megan sequel. I mean, what are they going to do to you know, be different, to set it apart from the original, you know, but I'll give it a shot. I'll give it a chance, and hopefully whenever we comes time to review them, we're not saying, oh yeah, they just kind of rehashed the same story.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. So
yeah, pretty much that's always how it is. We'll see what happens. But all right, moving on to some upcoming birthdays. August 18th, 1933, Roman Polanski, director of Rosemary's Baby, I feel like we recently talked about Roman Polanski for some reason or the other.
Oh, maybe.
I don't recall, but yeah, I mean, obviously Roman Polanski is fantastic. He's made many things in life, but
Oh yeah, it is. He's got
Rosemary's
some.
Baby's pretty great.
Yeah, I mean, he's got lots of. I mean, great, huge, big time movies. They're not horror though, so I only put down the big horror one. And I know Rosemary. Rosemary's Baby is very prudent right now because we do have that prequel thing coming to. I can't remember which streaming service it is, but there is the or whatever it's called, Apartment, whatever. The prequel to Rosemary's Baby coming in the near future, so I'm intrigued by that.
Yep, it is coming to Paramount, if I recall correctly, because
There
I fucking hate Paramount, so of course
you go.
it
You're gonna have to get over it and just to watch this.
is.
So.
I will, but doesn't mean I can't complain about it. But, all right,
Calm
August.
down, princess.
Listen. I don't ask for a lot. I just ask for a barely functioning app to use, I swear.
Well,
But
you're gonna take what they give you and you're gonna like it.
I guess I am. I guess I am. Anywho, moving on. August 20th, 1962. James Marsters, who played Spike in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and perhaps even more terrifying, he played Lord Piccolo in the Dragon Ball Evolution movie, live action movie, which is easily one of the worst anime movies of all time. But I don't blame James. I don't blame him. I blame the people who thought it was a good idea to make this into a live action movie. Anywho, happy birthday.
Was also in an episode of Supernatural. So
Hey.
and he's a guy that, for a long time, all the only thing I knew him from was Buffy. This is back when Buffy was a thing still, right? Still playing. And had absolutely no clue that he's actually not British. That whole accent in Buffy was just him acting. And so, man, hats off, sir. You had me fooled. But of course, we didn't really have an internet. It's you know, we're what it wasn't as easy just to jump online and check out the factoids on the people. So that's what it was. He sucked me in.
Good times. Yeah, I say I have not watched Buffy all the way through. I do know who he plays. I do know who Spike is, but
Spike's
yeah, I
great.
did. Yeah, I guess thinking about it, he has a pretty decent accent. You would think that that was either natural or somewhat natural, but
I thought so. I mean, I don't know. It had me fooled.
James, yeah, that's fool, buddy. All right. Well, born on the same day, just about 72 years prior, H.P. Lovecraft, of course, known for being an author, known for being a little problematic. But hey, it was the 1890s. It was a different time. But hey, I mean, he wrote like I don't know what the books are called per se, because I've never personally read them, which I know is a travesty. But I know he's responsible for like a lot of the Cthulhu mythos and lore.
Yeah, most of his stuff is stories. There's stories and and then collected into books. But yeah, he wrote Call of the Cthulhu and some of those things. He wrote the obviously one of the ones that's always intrigued me the most. He wrote Herbert West, The Reanimator, which the movie
Right.
Reanimator was based on, and the future movie sequels. But yeah, he wrote a ton of stuff. But yeah, most of like I said, back in those days, most of it was just he didn't write. He wrote a lot of stories, right? And they were published in like
Yeah.
magazines and things like that, and papers and things like that, and later were gathered up into books and things like that. So, but yeah, wrote a lot of the Cthulhu, whatever stuff. That might be the alcohol kicking in, but no, wrote a lot about that. And again, the H.P. Lovecraft also was a character in a Supernatural episode as well. So
He
apparently,
was.
just. It not I can already tell you it's not our last Supernatural reference today. I've got one on the back burners waiting. So, oh wait, not even looking at the next birthday. I have another one after that. So,
But yeah, actually, I was reading something the other day. It was about Cthulhu, Matt, since we're talking about it. But have you ever I don't know if you, because I know some of the lore, but like, do you know, like, because Cthulhu is like supposed to be like this really like a massive, like, powerful entity within that universe. But did you know there's, like, beings above Cthulhu?
Yeah, I'm aware. I don't know a lot about it. I have not read a lot of H.P. Lovecraft, and what I have read has been a long time. I read some of it in high school for a literature class, and there's been lots of sleep since then. And yeah, I know there is, yeah.
So there's specifically, and it's interesting because a lot of this is obviously from a lot of his writings or, you know, derivative writings. But there's an entity within the mythos called Azathoth, also known as the Blind Idiot God. And it's a dreaming monster who rules the outer gods of, like, this mythos. But, like, basically the whole, like, lore is that, like, we all exist within, like, this realm. And, like, if this god wakes up, we all die. So, like, the gods around him, like Cthulhu, are, like, trying to keep him asleep. So it's kind of intriguing. I want to sometimes jump into the actual books and stuff and read it and get into it a little more, because I mean, that's just so wild to me. That lore is just crazy to me. So but I had to share that because that's useless knowledge I have.
Yeah, he was quite the creative guy.
Just don't look up what his cat's name was, or was that Schrodinger's cat? No, that was his cat.
No, that was Lovecraft.
Yeah, don't look up that. Or if you do, just be forewarned. But moving on, man, there's a lot of August 20th birthdays. So August 20th, 1974, so 84 years later, we were gifted Misha Collins, known as Castiel in Supernatural. Favorite line of all time. Obviously, Castiel has a lot of great lines, but my favorite line of all time is, "Hey, ass butt," and throws the Molotov cocktail.
Yeah, what a... Misha's such an amazing dude. Misha's from Russia. Well, that area somewhere is where he was born, and they came over. And when he was young, they had his family had rough times. Right, they were homeless for a while. And obviously, you know, he's gotten quite a bit of success now and everything else. But at least for a while, where he lived, or part of the, I don't know if it was where you lived exactly. Anyway, the part of a town that they often went to for things, and, you know, they would walk and stuff. There was a homeless encampment nearby, and he would always take his kids to this homeless encampment to interact and talk to these people and check on them and bring them water and stuff or whatever else, because he wanted to make sure they were aware of this other side, or, you know, that this was a thing too, not, you know, because everybody didn't have it made. And he is such an active person in things. And I mean, he was a White House advisor at one point in time, and just such a good dude. And what an actor. I mean, when you watch Supernatural all the way through and realize all the different things he did, and it's remarkable. I mean, the nuances that he does to differentiate. I mean, that whole part where Lucifer is inhabiting Castiel, and the way he acts the two different characters, sometimes occasionally back and forth, it's remarkable how he can differentiate these characters so well. And I love Misha.
Yeah, absolutely. He's great. And actually, weirdly enough, one of the more recent things that we watched in Supernatural was when he's in the Empty, and the Empty wakes up. Yeah. And has, like, kind of like a weird accent as he's talking to him, but he appears to him as Mish, as like Castiel. So it's great. I love that. He just does so much great stuff.
Yeah. Even played Harvey Dent in Gotham Knights. That didn't last very long, but he was very, very good in that as well. I wish that would have ran a little longer to really see him. I think right at the close of it, he actually got to do the two-face makeup and like a little bit, and I wish he could have done a little more, because I can only imagine how good he would have been playing that two-faced character for, you know, a little bit of, you know, given some time. I think he could do that split personality type thing really, really well.
Oh, absolutely. I'm pretty convinced of that. And yeah, and it sucks that Gotham Knights only got the one season, but
it was a pretty decent show. I actually kind of liked it, but, and I think it really would have found a lot more footing as it went on, but alas, we're not here to talk about Phil DC TV show. So,
Oh man, good time. But all right, moving on. August 21st, 1989, Hayden Panettiere, known for her role as Kirby Reed in Scream 4 and Scream 6. You know, Hayden Panettiere was also a child actor, known for a lot of stuff, like a thing on Disney, I want to say. But, you know, obviously Kirby Reed's a fantastic character, one of the more redeeming qualities of Scream 4. And again, another redeeming quality of Scream 6. And I really hope that she's in the next one. I think that keeping her in that sort of group of survivors will pan out well, I think.
Yeah, I think she will be. I think she'll be one of the links between the, you know, that'll help however they're going to do the transition from six to seven with a lot of the change. I think she'll be one. And but I am calling it now, though. I think she'll be in it, and I think Kirby Reed dies in Scream 7. That's my gut feeling.
Yep, I could see that. I could see that. So, but you guys heard it here first. And when Scream 7 eventually makes it out of developmental hell, we'll find out.
Oh, it's rolling. They're getting ready to film. They're on it. Yeah, they're.
Shit, it's good. I'm glad
it's going. I think they're past it. I think they're down the home stretch, and we'll see what happens with it. I'm pretty excited. No offense to the last two, or any of those, because I love all that. You know, I love that cast too. But you know, bringing back Neve Campbell, having Sydney in it, and it just feels right.
And hopefully, more importantly, bringing back Stu Mocker.
I'm still calling it. He's going to be either the killer or one of the killers.
I
may have a gut that there might be two killers. Because, you know, with him kind of overseeing it, kind of like him and Billy in the first one. And I think he'll be in it. I just think they've got to.
I think it'll either be two killers or like a cult of killers being led by Stu Mocker. I think that the two killers from the last movie that were killed in like the very beginning, like the pseudo killers, right? Mm-hmm. They were like the ones that were like that killed oh gosh. They killed whoever it was that was in the beginning of the movie. But I think that they could very easily like tie in that those two were like part of a cult and, you know, kind of tie it in that way or something like that. But we'll see. We'll see.
You could do a lot, but we definitely need Stu back. I think both these recent movies, or at least one, I don't know. I think we actually reviewed two of them. Did we do 5 and 6?
I think so. I think they both came out at an appropriate time, I think. Yeah,
and I think both of them might call that, Stu will be back, Stu will be back. And I can already tell you that when we get ready to preview or talk about Scream 7, I'm going to once again predict that Stu will be back. Because it just needs to happen, and I'm holding out hope.
Same. But only time will tell, folks. Only time will tell. But moving on here. August 15th, 1986, The Fly. I have still yet to watch The Fly. It's on my list, and I gotta watch it sometime. It's got
Who was it we interviewed? Was it Anthony Cousins that was trying to guilt you into watching it as well?
I think so. I think so. I'm pretty sure he was a big
Frogman. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, that's two people on your back. You really need to. It's got Jeff Goldblum in it. Come on.
I do like Jeff Goldblum.
Such a good movie. Such a good. You got to watch it. And, you know, the anniversary is coming up. What a time. What a perfect time.
Very good. I'll have to watch it, though. I mean, here's the thing is I have to find time for it because I feel like, little fun fact, right? We have so many screeners for movies right now.
That's
like, I'm trying to like get through them all. But yeah, I know I do need to watch it actually, and I think I mentioned this before, but I do have a list of movies, like a kind of like a to watch list. Where is it at? I'll have to find it because there's some on here that like okay, so like Monster Squad, The Fly, Silver Bullet, Videodrome, and Stepfather, the original. Those are the ones that are on my list thus far.
Yeah, those are obviously all from me.
Correct.
I love all those movies. And, yeah, I mean, you make time for the important stuff. So you just got to...
That's right. Buckle down.
The Fly's important. So
true. But...
I would hold off Monster Squad till a little closer to Halloween. It's It's a fun Halloween watch for to me. And yeah, the others, you know, you squeeze in when you can, but yeah, The Fly needs to be at the top of that list.
Actually, it is literally at the top of the list.
There you go.
The first one.
There you go.
But all right, moving on. August 15th, 2003. So, you know, just a mere 17 years later, we got the classic Freddy versus Jason. It's definitely on the same level as The Fly, 100%. No, I'm just kidding.
Kind of loose with that term, the classic era.
I'm just kidding. I mean, it was released over 20 years ago, so I don't know. That might define it in the classic category, classic horror. I kid, but no. In reality, it's not a great movie, but it's not a bad movie. It's fun.
I don't think it makes it classic. It might make it an antique. But
true.
Yeah, it is what it is. Not one of my favorites. I think it was. I don't know. It was a little disappointing, I think, for what you wanted out of it, and I still hold true that it was at least a good 10 years too late from when they should have done it. At least, and you know, there was a. When they first, you always hear when they first were discussing it, that would have been prime time to do it. I just think by 2003, I don't know, you know, it's like both those franchises were kind of almost in a limbo a little bit, you know, and it just, I'm not saying you can't, but I pull it off. But man, if they had put those out when those franchises were still out there hot and pumping out movies, it just would have had a whole new, different feel to it. Even if you had the same movie, it would have just felt different because of there would have been a whole new level of nostalgia to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully, maybe we'll get more crossovers in the future now that they've kind of sort of worked out some of their stuff, but we'll see.
I just hope we get something, right? I mean, we were all excited about Crystal Lake, and now it's like, I don't know what's happening. I mean, it's like, the showrunner left, and supposedly it's still happening, but we have not heard anything in forever. So it's like, I don't know. I don't even want to get my hopes up anymore. Because it's like, I feel like they just break my heart. And I was so pumped for that. And I hope we still get it. And I hope something, you know, becomes a nightmare. And by the way, people online, quit sharing the fake ass shit with this series called Fred with DJ Qualls. Have you seen this online?
I have.
My God, and the people that are like, oh, look at this. This has happened. I'm like, oh, my God, people, come on. Just take 30 seconds and Google something before you believe a Facebook headline. And not saying that DJ Qualls couldn't pull it off, because, you know, he would probably be pretty decent in the role. But, yeah, it's just not happening. It's not a thing yet. So,
whatever. DJ Qualls actually isn't a bad fan cast. I mean,
no.
I don't hate it.
No.
But it's a fan cast. That's all it is. There's no legitimacy to that statement or claim.
No. But anyway, hopefully something happens with these franchises soon, because it's way past, they're too iconic to be this dormant.
Yeah, I agree. If Halloween can make a comeback, they can too. But anywho, moving on to August 16, 1985, Return of the Living Dead. Return of the Living Dead is very unique as far as zombie stories go, and it's timely that we talk about a zombie movie on Today of All Days. So, yeah, you know, Return of the Living Dead, it's great. I liked it. I really, really, really like the second one, surprisingly. I think it's a very, very good sequel. The third one's very weird, but still pretty good, and then it just kind of drops off from there.
Yeah, I love it. Return of the Living Dead is so damn good. One of my favorite movies. Again, I always use the word fun, and I'm repeating it, and I know I use it a lot, but that's intentional, because that's what I want for my movies. You know what? I want to enjoy myself watching the movie, and Return of the Living Dead is a fun, fun movie to watch.
It 100% is. And speaking of fun movies, August 19th, 1988, Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master. You know, rolling off the heels of Nightmare on Elm Street 3, obviously Nightmare on Elm Street 4 was nowhere near the level of Dream Warrior. But Dream Master was okay. It was a good time. But like I said, you're rolling off the heels of one of the greatest horror sequels of all time. You're not going to hold up that well.
Yeah, no. And they were, Man, I feel like I've, even though I just watched this like late last year, I feel like I haven't seen it forever. But they were, I mean, they were essentially killing off all the Dream Warriors, right? I mean, what was left of them? I mean, they, you know, and they didn't, they recast the one girl, and I don't know, it's just whatever. It's all right, but Nightmare peaked with three for me, and you know, it is what it is. But I felt like, you know, one was pretty good, two was pretty good, three was great, and I think it just kind of started to go downhill. It's like they peaked, and then I don't know, and then we wind up with Freddy versus Jason. No, it's all right. I you know, I enjoy it, but it's I don't know. I don't know if you could have done anything for me personally, coming out of Dream Warriors, because I love that movie so much.
No, absolutely, I agree. But yeah, we'll see. At least you know, Freddy didn't go to space, so I guess that's what we can say about him.
But he could, right?
he
What's
could, he
he
could.
goes in dreams, so it's not that far-fetched.
I
You know,
hope he, how about this? I hope he doesn't go to space.
astronauts sleep, and so he could be there. That would be intriguing. I don't know. I'm getting
I think,
desperate to get Freddy back on the screen.
I mean, if I had to choose a person to go to space, I guess he would make the most sense versus like the Leprechaun or, you know, Jason, but.
I mean, it's there's not a leap, right? Because he's not physically tied to anywhere, I don't think. I mean, he could easily haunt, I would guess, could haunt their dreams too. And not saying it would be good, but I mean, I think it's there's
Plausible.
a little more logic than some of the other things they've done with space, but whatever. I mean,
True
I
that.
guess if you send a leprechaun there, you can do anything.
So if you can send a leprechaun, you can do anything. That's a
Well,
statement, isn't it?
that leprechaun got around, man. He'd been everywhere, hadn't he? Space, the hood. I don't know where, what he's been everywhere, man. I mean, what has he not done?
Make a good movie.
Oh, hey, the first one's good.
I do like the first one. I do like the first one.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
say that in jest. But
But,
I wonder, did we already pass the anniversary of the Leprechaun? I feel like we did. So
I think so.
I feel like I remember us talking about
I would
it. But
have assumed it would have came out in the vicinity of St. Patrick's Day, you would think, logically, but I don't know that. But yeah, I think we mentioned it at some point. So yeah, I think we'll have to wait till we come back around the bend to it again.
there you go. So I need to go and rewatch it. So, but
Got a little
anywho,
young Jennifer Aniston action in there.
true. That is true. But moving on from Nightmare, August 19th, 2022, Orphan First Kill. The Orphan movies are very good. The first one's really, really good. It's very suspenseful. The second one's still pretty good. It's pretty solid. You know, and I don't really have too many complaints about it. I'm pretty sure we reviewed Orphan First Kill, if I recall correctly.
Did
I thought we maybe didn't.
I don't think we were reviewing in 2022. I don't think we were rolling yet. Was there another Orphan movie
No,
after?
but maybe this came out before we started, maybe.
I don't know.
I thought we did, but at the same time, I feel like we've talked about orphans so much. Just in
Yeah, well,
general.
maybe.
But anyhow, it's a good movie.
That's okay. It's all right.
He's
Yeah, you know, I do like the first Orphan, but I don't know. It's okay, but I feel like it's just kind of, I don't know, ran its course a little for me after, you know. It's one of those movies. What's the first kill, like a prequel, if I'm remembering right?
Yes.
It's just, I don't know. I mean, prequels are tricky, and for a movie that was relying on the big reveal so much, once you've seen the big reveal, it's kind of seems odd to me to try to make a sequel or a prequel, I mean. And I don't
Yeah,
know.
I think that they were kind of relying on the twist being the connection between the two films, I think.
Yeah, I suppose.
But
But yeah, I don't know. It's okay.
not to ruin, not gonna ruin the plot for anybody, but yeah, go check it out. And
It's no Fly, but it's definitely not a Freddy versus Jason either.
yeah,
I feel like that's my radometer today.
that's like your scale here.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Based on our anniversaries today.
But well, this next one could be on that other end of the scale. August 20th, 2010, Piranha. Yeah, it's Piranha. It's something.
I don't know. I think Piranha's probably leaning a little more Freddy versus Jason in that half for me.
For sure.
But I don't know. It is what it is. Isn't this 3D? That it's like one of those blatantly 3Ds?
So the fir the
Or
this
is there
one
two
was
versions?
yeah
No.
there's another one. There's Piranha
Okay.
3D, which was a sequel, I think.
Okay, so there's another run. Okay, I gotcha.
I take that back. So this one is in 3D, but there's another movie called Piranha 3DD.
What the hell's that mean?
It means exactly what you would think it would mean. as in boobs.
Oh, okay.
It's
That that that's got to be oh, that's okay. That's got to be after the original creators are kind of like signed off on it and so, like washed their hands of it, I'm assuming.
yeah, I mean, it's got David Koechner in it, so it's essentially a comedy at this point.
Yeah. Well, okay, so guess we shouldn't knock Piranha too much. It got worse after that, I guess.
Only went downhill from there.
Oh
But
well. Well, we got
you
one more anniversary, and this will save us a little bit here.
yeah, we're ending on a classic. August 21st, 1981, An American Werewolf in London.
Oh yeah.
I watched this one. This is good. This is definitely a better movie than most of the movies on this list, other than
Yeah,
like The Fly.
this is leaning heavy on that fly rating. This is right up there because I love this movie. So
Yeah.
good. So good. Another classic.
Yes. I think it comes up pretty much every year, and it's always a good time.
Yeah, I love it.
All right. I think that rounds us out on upcoming birthdays and what anniversaries. So we're gonna finish this off here with some releases. Alien Romulus, the seventh installment in the Alien franchise, will be releasing in theaters on August 16th. It is a standalone movie that is set between the events of 1979's Alien and 1986's Aliens. It is described as while scavenging in the deep ends of a derelict space station, a group of young space colonizers come face to face with the most horrifying, I'm sorry, terrifying life form in the universe. And we will be reviewing this movie on our next episode, releasing August 22nd. So it's no mystery. Dave and I are huge fans of the Alien franchise, and Alien Romulus is it looks very good. It looks very suspenseful, looks very scary. And I did like Prometheus and Alien Covenant, but they were certainly not the same vibe as the original Alien movies. But I think that this is in the right direction.
Yeah, I hope so. And I like them all. I like all the Alien movies to varying degrees, but there's obviously clear favorites. And
Right.
I'm hoping with this one being set between the first two that it has that feel, that look, and so that which fits Alien, right? It just makes you think of it. So I'm excited. I'm super excited to watch this this weekend.
Good stuff. And another good little thing for you guys here. The Deliverance will have a limited theater release on August 16th, and then will come to Netflix on August 30th. It is described as a family in a home in Indiana, woohoo losers, discovers strange and demonic occurrences that convince them that the community, that the house, is a portal to hell.
Oh,
I think I've heard of
that's not that house. That's just Indiana in general. That's
I was
just
going to say, I've been there long enough, I'm pretty sure.
I can't. I can.
Got to be careful. Might upset the Indianians.
Oh well, you know what? For however many years, 40 years, or however 40 plus years, I was one of them. So
Sure.
I have I'm not uneducated on the topic. I can very much say that.
True.
So,
Yes, I think I mean I was there for what, like 25 years, I think. You were there for longer, so.
it's just that, dude, with the weather's nuts, up and down, all over the place. Never know what you're gonna have. It's just berserko,
Berserko.
it's like tornadoes don't even make you flinch because they're just around all the time, and it's just, I mean, if that's not a portal to hell, I don't know what is.
Good
Ah,
times.
no, we love you, Indiana. We love you. I'm glad I'm not there anymore, but I love you.
Right. I don't wish I was there, but good job, guys.
Yeah, but this movie, The Deliverance, I'm shooting a blank. Do you have it pulled up? There's somebody, seems like there's somebody big in it.
Glenn Close, I
Oh,
think.
yeah, there you go. Glenn Close is in it. Yeah. So this is, I'm pretty sure this is the movie I read that there was a, like a big bidding war for the streaming rights to it. And Netflix won out. So this was like an in-demand movie for the streaming services. Glenn Close is, she's great. And so I'm curious to see her kind of in this role and what this is. And you had me at demonic occurrences.
Right. But in even bigger news, no offense to the
Yeah. No, this one's
this
exciting.
is Stream will release in theaters on August 21st, and it is described as the Kenan family's simple weekend getaway truly turns into a vacation to die for as four deranged killers play a sadistic game of lockdown or well, a sadistic game. They lock down their hotel and compete for the most creative murders of all the guests. We will be reviewing this movie in two episodes, releasing August 29th. We also have a bonus episode planning to release Sunday, August 25th,
No. The 18th.
the 18th, that's right. And it is an interview with none other than Jason Levy from Fuzz on the Lens Production, who is the company behind Stream and the Terrifier movies. But Jason also plays Player One in the film.
That's right. He does. And we've already this interview's already in the can. As this movie drop or excuse me, as this episode drops, the interview will just be a few days away. The movie itself will be less than a week away. And so it's exciting. There's lots happening, but just like right now, I am just, man, my brain is in total stream mode after that interview and everything else and the online buzz and all the posts. I'm so excited for this movie. And
Yeah.
I just don't want to really dive. I don't want to talk much about it because we got the interview. The interview is coming out in a few days after this, and we really talk a lot with Jason on, about the movie. And talk a lot about it. So let's just table it, and save any future stream discussions till that interview, and then afterwards.
That's right. Can't get all the good stuff out right now.
But thank you,
But
Jason, for doing the interview with us, and
yes.
you guys are gonna love it.
Yeah, it was very good. Very good. Very, very entertaining. And this is a perfect point to tell you guys, make sure you're following us and subscribe to us on YouTube because on YouTube we post the actual videos of these interviews. And Dave and I are there, of course, but you get to see the guests. You get to see them talk and interact with us and everything else. And it's a good time. It's one of my favorite things that we post on there. So make sure you check us out.
Yeah,
But
and Jason's excitement and enthusiasm was so contagious. So it's
yes.
something you definitely want to see because he was very very vibrant, very active, just very energetic because he was just was so excited talking about all these projects and what they do. And it was just so contagious. So you want to watch it. I mean, you just listening to it's great. It's still fun. You're still gonna love it. But watching it gives you a whole nother dimension to just see his enthusiasm.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. But yes, thank you again, Jason, and check out that interview on Sunday and check out our review of the movie in a couple weeks. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will have our reviews of We Are Zombies and The Mousetrap. Stick around.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/wrasslepod. That is linktr.ee/RASSLEPOD. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
All right. And here we are still on Listen to the Screams. I felt like we've talked forever, and we've just now starting the reviews, and we've got two of them. But we will promise, folks, we will keep these a little bit abbreviated since we are splitting the time for two. And I do promise that I won't just bitch and complain about people's receptions of the movie. And first off, let's start with We Are Zombies. This movie was released August 13th on Screambox. It is based on a graphic novel called The Zombies That Ate the World by Jerry Frisson. The movie is directed by Francois Simillard, Anouk Whistle, and Johan Carl Whistle. I'm sorry if I butchered those names. starring Alexandra Nachi, Derek Johns, Megan Peterhill, and many others. You know, I didn't know what to think of this movie going into it, right? I'd heard a little buzz, and we got the screen box thing that we get, you know, with our, you know, where we get screener links and information, and it of course hyped the movie a little bit. And you know, I knew it was a horror comedy and heard some things, and I thought, oh, you know, it sounds fun. We'll do this. We didn't really have a whole lot else at the time. But I didn't really going into it. I didn't anticipate a lot. I really just thought, this will be, I don't know. I wasn't feeling confident about reviewing this movie. I just, for whatever reason, I don't know what it was. That's part of the reason that I think we threw in the mousetrap, because we thought, we had that opportunity as well. Cause it bam, all of a sudden hit video on demand and we wanted to review it as well. But we thought, so we'll beef it up with the second one. In retrospect, I loved We Are Zombies. I thought it was freaking great. And number one, I just love the portrayal of the zombies. The living impaired. I love they still had a little bit of personality, a little bit of awareness. I love the whole concept of the movie, how they set it up. Again, I'm not going to give a lot of spoilers because everybody needs to go to Screenbox and watch this. But I love the premise of the movie. I thought the three main leads in the movie, who are the kind of the quote unquote con man team of the movie that we heard about in the description, they were fantastic, and their chemistry together is wonderful. They did so well together. I was super excited to see that main girl because she is in an episode of Supernatural. She's in the one with the cursed children's party costumes. With Donna. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
And remember the guy at the beginning with the bunny head on, and then they go to his girlfriend, and she's like, okay. "Oh, you got that's her." And she was that he had the tattoo. It said Kylie forever. She was Kylie. Anyway, I was super excited to see her in it because I thought she really stepped up, showed up, and she's got a lot more because she just had that little bit part, one scene in Supernatural. But I like seeing these people that I've seen. You get these opportunities and just really, really do well. And I thought she was great. I thought this movie was funny. It was a hilarious movie. And what I like about it is, though, lots of times with horror comedies, the comedy part is so forced. It's just like they're trying to crack these weird one-liners, and it just they don't often work. And with this one, though, I felt like the comedy was very natural, right? I thought there's just the chemistry of these three people that are hung out all the time and know each other so well, and they're just screwing with each other and giving each other a hard time and everything else. It was just kind of that natural comedy that comes with that. And, there might have been a little bit here and there that was just maybe a touch hokey. But overall, I mean, when you're talking about a world where zombies are just out there as part of the, society, you expect a little bit of it. But I enjoyed this movie a lot more than I thought. I really just, for whatever reason, had this notion in mind that this was going to be kind of a blow off. I don't know what it was or why per se. But I really thought it was a very, very funny movie that just, it caught me off guard how much I enjoyed watching it. What'd you think of it?
No, absolutely. I mean, it is exactly what you said. I sat there and I was like, okay, let's watch this. We Are Zombies. We had the screener. And I was like, let's get into this. And, I for lack of a better phrase, I had not heard about this movie. I had no preconception of what the fuck this movie was about. We had our conversation last week about The Living Impaired, and that was pretty much it. So when I started watching the movie, I'm like, okay, I kind of get it. There's like a virus that when people die, they turn into zombies, but they don't eat people. Okay, that's plausible within the craziness of this movie. But the big thing for me was that it wasn't just that they're there. There's like laws that protect them. There are rules and everything else. you know, there's companies that like put them in like retirement homes and all that other shit. And so
No, I'm just saying, I love how they, all the different aspects where they utilize them into different businesses and things. It just,
right.
And it's just, how everybody was trying to make it, you know, make, find a way to make a buck off of them. I mean, from the funniest were the, I don't think this really gives away a lot. This will be like my one little bit I say, where they had the online cam girls who were zombies and they called them Zilfs. I cracked up so much at that. It just, I don't know why it made me laugh so hard. Right. It's super funny.
Well, and I was going to say, it's one of those things where it's like, it seemed entirely plausible that like, if there were just like dead people who like were like walking around meandering about, everything that happened in this movie seems entirely plausible for what would happen in real life. Like, I mean, capitalism would jump on that and an immediate jump. I mean, yeah. They even showed it in like Shaun of the Dead, where at the end they're using them in like game shows and stuff. And yeah, it is really crazy. Just all the little things that they touch on, which I think is what I love most, is the little details, the little niche things that they showed in the background. Or
the funniest line of the movie was when the one guy was on like a news thing complaining about the zombies stealing the jobs, and he's like, "They don't sleep. How are we supposed to compete with that?"
Right.
It's just all these little things that seem so outlandish, but then when you think about it, you're absolutely right, right? That this happened, everybody would be trying to find a way to monetize it and utilize it.
That is exactly right. 1,000%. I mean, it's just, it's crazy to think about, but like, that's exactly what would happen. I don't care who you are. That is what would happen. You can kid yourself, but I guarantee the Elon Musks would be enslaving the zombies to put them in their factories. But I, you know, I joke for the most part, but yeah, I mean, it was just funny how all those little details that was what made it for me. All those little, you know, really weird, funny little details. And, you know, and the movie itself obviously was brilliant. They did such a good job. They made it into something that I had no clue that I was looking for. So I was very, very pleasantly surprised by this.
Yeah, me too. And I'm very fond of movies that drop little things that you think are just throwaway lines, and then they end up coming back at some point in the movie, whether they're big points or whether they're just mentioned again. And there were a few of them in this, just things that were just mentioned early on in the movie.
Right.
That you don't think anything of. They don't seem, you know, there's nothing important about them. And then they come back later, typically as somehow it tied into a joke that just worked perfectly. They were just, I loved it. And this movie was, it was just so fun to watch. And again, I was so pleasantly surprised. I thought it was super clever. And it's definitely a different take on zombies, right? You always think, how could you, what more can you do, right? How more unique can zombies get? And they always find ways. And, you know, and I'm sure there was inspirations behind this. I'm not super, super versed with every zombie movie out there. So I'm sure, you know, I'm sure the thought of non-cannibal zombies has maybe been out there, I'm sure, somewhere. But I don't, you know, I don't know. But at a, I just thought everything about this, the whole concept and everything was just very unique and very clever. And I really hope they can come up with a very unique way to do a sequel, because I'd love to see another. And it was fun.
I think, and I'm not going to spoil it, but I think that there's a very traditional way that they could, you know, avert course a little bit and take the movie on a different, a more classic approach, I think. So
yeah.
I'll leave it at that. I'm not going to give any spoilers about what happened or anything, but yeah, you guys should definitely check it out, because it's very interesting how it ends. And I think there's a very cool segue they could make for that.
Yeah, I agree. So, all right, before we move on to the other review, let's go ahead and rate this one real quick. Out of 5 screams, I'm going to give it a 3.5. It was clever, but it's not completely, rebuilding, you know, reshaping the genre totally. But I think it was slightly better than that middle of the run we talk about. And I enjoyed it a touch more. So for me, it's getting a 3.5 out of five screams.
Yeah, I think I have to 100% agree. This is not a middle of the road movie. This movie has a lot of character and a lot of love in it. So I'm going to give it a 3.5 out of 5.
All right. Well, there you have that. Let's move on to our next review. And this is The Mousetrap. This movie, for the longest time, was known as Mickey's Mousetrap. And I believe a lot of the theaters and production companies kind of had a little discussion and thought, well, we want to drop the Mickey part to avoid any attempts of Disney, you know, coming for us. So that it just now is referred to as The Mousetrap. The movie was released August 6th to video on demand. It, of course, is based on the 1928 public domain Mickey Mouse short, Steamboat Willie. The movie was written by Simon Phillips, directed by Jamie Bailey. The movie was starring Simon Phillips, Sophie McIntosh, and Calum Swike, I think that's how you say his name, and several others. There was kind of an ensemble cast there, you're playing this group of friends. And again, we've talked about how, you know, we like these public domain, as we call them, public domain horror movies. This one was fun. I very much enjoyed it. I like the concept of it. I think there's more they can do in the future with some others, you know, coming out of this. I did think the ending was a little, I don't know, kind of peculiar, kind of, I don't know. It just didn't feel like a natural stop for me for some reason. I guess I was a little surprised where it ended for some reason. It felt like it was lacking a little something. And I can't quite put my finger on exactly what, and I don't want to spoil it. So, you know, it might've just been me. But again, this movie was fun. I don't think I enjoyed it as much as We Are Zombies.
Right.
I know there's lots of these Steamboat Willie movies coming out. I believe this is the one that we had heard of that was like supposedly pretty much done when the when the movie or when the short hit public domain. So I'm not sure what the delay was. I do know, you know, speaking of, we talked about talking to Jason Levy, that Fuzz on the Lens has got the one coming out called the Screamboat. That's a take on this with, you know, we talked a lot about David Howard Thornton, but he's playing the killer Mickey role in that, the killer mouse role. That's the one that I'm kind of most looking forward to. And that's the one that I think will kind of set the bar as far as these Steamboat Willie horror movies for me. But The Mousetrap was okay. It definitely had, you know, a little bit lower budget. You know, it was a fun enough concept, but I thought some of the, like I said earlier, with the some of the humor being a little forced, I thought there was a little more of that in this. It was just a little more forced humor that there wasn't as much genuine laughing for me. You know, it was okay. You know, the movie wasn't horrible, but I definitely did not enjoy it as much as We Are Zombies. And I'm not so sure this would be a movie that I'll revisit if I'm going back to look for one of these public domain horror movies. And I know Ike was number 3 on your list kind of by default. You know, what'd you think of it?
You know, I hate to say it, and I'm not going to say I didn't like it. I'm just going to say that there are a lot of things that I didn't like about the movie. You know, it was a movie. There were okay kills in the movie, but nothing to write home about. I don't know. I feel like the entire premise of the movie, and this is not much of a spoiler, but sort of the premise is that there's like a haunted mask, basically. I don't remember if we said that already, but that's not really a spoiler. They kind of showed in the trailer. But I don't know. It's kind of an overused trope, as is the whole concept of like a haunted object. But not only that, I just felt like the movie just didn't have what I was expecting from, you know, this venture that I was expecting them to go on. This really does feel like they basically were just like, yeah, let's just make a movie. Let's make it as quick as possible because we know this is going to hit the public domain and we want to strike while the iron is hot. That's honestly how it kind of felt, in my opinion. Is that they were just like, let's get this out there because the quicker we get this out there, the more of a media of attention we're going to get. And certainly they did.
Yeah, they have. That is true.
And I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I do feel like the movie was rushed, in my opinion. I feel like the product that we got was just, you know, cobbled together from what they had. And it wasn't my total cup of tea, which isn't a bad thing per se, but it's just, I felt like it could have been better. And I think that Screamboat is going to do better. I think that the direction that the studio that is doing Terrifier 3 and David Howard Thornton, you know, David Howard Thornton, even if it is a mass killer in Screamboat, David Howard Thornton has experience as a silent mass killer. I mean, he's doing, he did The Mean One. He did Art the Clown. He's one of the players, I think player two or three. And
I think he's two. Yeah, two.
Yeah, two, three or four. One of those. I can't remember which one's which.
We know he's not one.
We know he's not one. He's not Sean, but yeah. Or I'm not sorry, not Sean.
Yeah, who's Sean?
Oh God, don't tell Jason I said that.
I don't even know where you pulled that name out.
I don't know either. Sean Levy. No, there is a Sean Levy. Yeah, he did Free Guy and Deadpool.
that's L-E-V-Y though. I think
that is true. Hey, if there's any Levy to get mixed up with, I think Sean Levy's the best one.
Yeah,
perhaps. I kid. But for real though, I mean, you have what it is that we have going on with this production company who's done these kinds of movies before, and we're gonna swoop in and I think Screamboat's gonna be really good. And I feel like that's the big thing to take away from this. If you take anything away from this, is that even if this movie wasn't your cup of tea, there are potentially better things on the horizon.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Mousetrap could have used another go through on that script, because like I said, it just seemed like, you know, there was some nuggets there, right, that could have been worked with. But like I said, it just felt, especially where it got to the end, it just felt like there was something missing. I don't know what I don't know, and I don't have the answer what it could have been, but I think maybe another run through, you know, flesh out a few things. There just wasn't a lot of explanation for things, right? It was what it was. You know, here's this mask, and this is, let's go. And, you know, it's okay, but just a little bit, drop a little something.
Right. A little more detail.
Yeah, I just think it could have used a little more fleshing out. And, you know, you try to find something that you really can hang your hat on with the movie, that you think, well, there's this and there's this, but I did enjoy this part. There's not really any one thing on this movie that I can say, well, this really jumped out at me. I really liked at least this one aspect. It's just the whole thing was kind of a blah. And you know, whether you like these concepts or whatever else, we talked about Screamboat. We know the one thing that it's, you know, Screamboat's gonna have going for it is, I'm 99% sure, I'm assuming Damien Leone will be doing the effects. And right. So that right there alone is going to give it a leg up. And not even talking 1,000%. About you know everything else. So again, not the worst movie. You know, it's definitely not. I totally agree with you that this was definitely, they wanted to be the first. I definitely think it was in their benefit to be the first, but I think they had enough time that they could have done, forced in one more pass on that script, beef it up a little bit, maybe, you know, I don't know, try to do some follow-up shoots to add a couple of scenes here and there, right. Something to try to flesh it out and beef it up. But I do say that I think there is potential with this, whatever this group is. And I'm not, yeah. You know, Simon Phillips, you know, did write, he did act in it. I'm not sure what this, you know, their his or whoever's production company is with this, the team that they did. But I do think there's some potential there. And I would really like to see them do something, an original idea. And let's see what they can do there. Yeah. Not a public domain. Something of their own that they really have a lot of passion for, and that they're really invested in, and that they really, you know, it's that kind of stuff that what you stay up all night because you just want to keep working it until it's perfect because it's your baby. And I really think they have the potential to make something really, really good and have a bright future. And you know, potentially even make something that really jumps out and you know, catches the genre, as, you know. But I think it has got to be something, you know, like I said, something that they're more passionate about, something a little more personal to them, something that they develop on their own, that they're just more invested in. And not, like you said, not just feeling like, oh, Steamboat Willie's in the public domain. Let's hurry up and make a movie on that because
right.
that's going to be a thing. And, you know, no, you know what? Okay, that's fine. It's fine to do that. It's fine to make that, get a little experience doing that or whatever else. So now let's see what you can really do. And I'm hopeful because, I'm optimistic that, you know, if I see some of these names associated with something else, it would definitely at least perk enough interest that I'd be like, oh, I'll give that a watch. And let's see what they do now.
Yeah.
So
no, and I do want to agree with you there. I think that the creators have promise. It's just I don't know if this was the right move for them.
No.
At this juncture.
Yeah. And again, I don't know. I hope it does well for them. I hope you know they make a little money to be able to you know really kind of finance another project. You know, maybe with a little bit bigger budget than what they want and what they had.
Right.
You know, to really do maybe a little more what they want. Cause I understand when you're dealing with a small budget, you do have to make certain cuts, right? Maybe they couldn't afford to do some, you know, to shoot a couple extra scenes to put in it. Maybe they just, once they had it done, maybe, you know, that's what they could do. I'm making assumptions, but, you know, I do understand sometimes you have limitations. So I do hope this is at least successful enough for them. That you know they do have a little more creative freedom in whatever they choose to do next, because I think that really is when you get to see a creator's true promise. When you really start to see talent, is when they you know they have a little bit bigger you know canvas to work with and a little more tools. So I'm hopeful for them, but this movie just wasn't it for me. It just you know, I'm excited about, you know, the Steamboat Willie stuff. I do like the concept. I think it's going to work. But this one just didn't really utilize it and click well with me. And, I will say the whistling of the little Steamboat Willie song or whatever melody that the killer kept doing, you could hear it, you know, like he was whistling that thing from Steamboat Willie. But it was like a slowed down. Because in the short, Mickey whistles, right? He whistles a tune. And the killer was whistling it, but it was like slowed down a little creepier. That was kind of spooky. And I've always said that when you take an ironic song and you put it in those contexts, and you slow them down and you whistle them or do something like that, that is creepy. That is a good effect. So that worked for me. So I guess maybe that's it. The whistling of the tune was my thing. For this. Yes. So all right, so let's we've rambled for quite a while here, so let's wrap this up. Let's rate this movie. You know, I hate to do it, but I'm gonna have to be honest with you. There's a lot more misses than hits with this movie and me, and I'm unfortunately I think I'm gonna have to give it a 2 screams out of 5. I just don't think there's enough there to get it any closer to that middle of the run enjoyability for me. Like I said, there were some nuggets there, some potential, but I just feel like there was a lot of swings and misses that dropped it down for me. So I'm giving it a 2 out of 5 screams. Ike, what are you giving it?
Yeah, I'm going to go a little bit higher. A little bit higher. 2.5 out of 5. It wasn't a complete dud. There were some redeeming qualities. There was some promise, but no, this was by no means. I would not call this a middle of the ground movie. I feel like there's a varying degree of, like, you know, good and bad and whatnot. And this wasn't bad. It just wasn't the best. So, 2.5 out of 5 for me.
Yeah. And if you're excited by the concept of a Mickey Mouse Steamboat Willie public domain movie, Screamboat is coming out. I'm not trying to undermine the mousetrap here, but. but in another bit of news, I guess, that just came out today that we really didn't throw in here, they did announce that the first trailer for the movie will be debuting in theaters ahead of the stream. So nice. when you go to see Stream, the first trailer for Screamboat will be there. So that will give us our first peek at that and see what they do with the concept. So I'm excited about that as well. So, but I'm also, like I said, well, I'm excited because next episode we are reviewing Alien Romulus, which is coming to theaters August 16th. I greatly assume that lots of you will be out there to see it. This is going to be probably one of the bigger movies of the year, I would think. I would hope. It definitely has a lot of hype. I'm super excited. Like Ike said, we love the Alien franchise. And this one,
this has really got my interest, and it's really, really got me excited. I'm looking forward to it. So once again, thank you to all the to our, I started to say all the wives. To thank you to our wives and all of the listeners and followers. Make sure again, like we said, you follow us on social media, subscribe to us on those platforms, and make sure you interact and give us some feedback. Give us some comments, share our posts and everything else. Because remember, we have the new segment, and you might become a part of the show. We might respond and discuss your comment or your feedback on the show. Again, we promise it'll be in a positive light. We're not going to take any comment and ridicule the person on here. That's not the objective. That's not the goal. If we ridicule anybody with your comment, it will be one of us. It totally will. It'll be directed at us. So that's not what we're doing with it. We are using it to spawn legitimate discussions of some sort on here. Good natured, no ill intent and no ill will intended. So don't be afraid. We're not those kind of guys. So make sure you give us that feedback. Give us some comments. We do love chatting and interacting with you online. It makes, you know, we drop one episode a week, but on social media, we can interact and have these discussions and talk horror every day. So, you know, it gives us that chance to correspond with you daily and stay active. So make sure you do that, because we enjoy that and we look forward to that. So anyway, before we close out and get out of here, anything else you want to add?
Only thing I want to add is, you know, for those creators out there who might be looking to make your own Steamboat Willie movie, it is very, very specifically the Steamboat Willie version of Mickey Mouse. If you make a Mickey Mouse movie, you will be sued into oblivion by Disney. So be careful, but make sure you read up on your public domain laws and everything else, because you don't want to get that DMCA by the good old Walt Disney, because he, even though he's dead, he's come for that money, let me tell you.
That's right. Mickey Mouse is not in the public domain, just Steamboat Willie. So yep. You can only use that version and things from that. But there are lots of other things out there. So, true. And if you are an independent creator making, you know, your movies or whatever else, you know what? Shoot us a message. We do like hearing from you. We have reviewed several very, you know, small creator movies that we have very much enjoyed. And we try to watch everything that's sent to us, though. Even if we don't get to review it, we do try to watch it. We do try to share some on social media. And we do try to mention it in the shows. Even if we don't review it, we try to drop a mention of, hey, you know, thanks for sending us this. It was, you know, keep at it. We liked what you gave us. So don't be afraid to send us something. We actually have an interview coming up, you know, whatever, in the near future with a director of another, you know, small independent film. And that I'm looking forward to seeing. And I'm excited about that. We've got some things brewing with some other people that are creating. So, you know, we've got lots of things. We like to be active and supporting, you know, not just the big studios. Our heart and soul, as much as we love the big properties, our heart and soul's in the independent filmmakers. And, you know, that's where the passion is. And that I love seeing those movies. And, you know, there's a lot of fun there. So, again, if you have a project that you would like us to take a look at, not promising we'll review it on the show, but we will do our best to absolutely watch it. And we'll, you know, we can get back in touch with you and give you some feedback if you like. We'll, you know, drop a mention. You know, if you got something coming out that you'd like to plug, hit us up. We're always sharing stuff on social media to help support your projects. And, you know, we'll try to use our followers and our listeners and our fan base to try to maybe get some more eyes on you. We're more than happy to help. So reach out to us and let's see what we can do to collaborate, because we love it. So, but until next episode, when we're reviewing Alien Romulus, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always have many pleasant nightmares.